Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Everyone's a winner, baby. That's no lie.
That's no lie.
You never fail to satisfy.
Have your company on this Monday, done Monday, well, Tuesday edition of Punter's Postmortem. Old habits die hard. We've had the long weekend. Hopefully you found a whole stack of winners, and we're wishing Corey Brown a really speedy recovery as well after that terrible fall on Lord Arthur. He is recovering in Brisbane. That was in the Queensland Derby. We saw a very impressive winner, and a huge plunge landed in the Queensland Derby with Mr. Quickie. Getting home first, $5 into $2.80. Then we saw all the excitement from the ownership group of Prince Farwaz. Super impressive colt winning the JJ Atkins. What wonderful scenes they were in the Sadley enclosure. And then the Godolphin, the Blue Army, marches on in the straight rope with Trekking winning as well. 60s Groove getting over the distance in the Brisbane Cup. And then Invincibella back to form in the Group 2 Dane Ripper at Randwick. Well, punters were pretty well on the mark at Randwick, while at Flemington, we'll go to Dean Lester as well at Flemington, because we saw some, well, a winter meeting there, but some horses to follow. And then Mornington yesterday, we had drama down there at Mornington, 14 barriers, but they had 15 horses to load into the 14 barriers. Squeezy, squeezy, squeezy. They had to unload all the runners, then get more barriers, and then eventually the race got underway. Can you believe it?
It wasn't me.
Can you believe it? There'd be some shifting of blame down there, and there's no doubt about that. Let's say a big good morning to Ronnie Duffersey. G'day, Ronnie.
Yeah, good morning, TK. And just a Jockeys Association press release this morning on Corey Brown. He's obviously, we knew that he fractured his T7 there, which was stabilised with an operation on Sunday. He's got a sternum injury, a punctured lung. He's got broken ribs, but he did walk a short distance on Sunday. So he's up on his feet, very sore, sick, and sorry. But he hopefully returns to Sydney this week, and it's in fact his birthday next Saturday.
Well, we can wish him a speedy recovery, and we don't doubt their toughness. Often doubt their judgment, but never doubt their toughness. So we wish Corey a really speedy recovery, and I think there's an inquiry ongoing into that for Lord Arthur coming down, and unfortunately Lord Arthur being euthanised there as well. It was a terrific day at Eagle Farm. Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. Good morning, Glenn.
Yes, good morning, TK. Good morning to Ronnie, and welcome in Dino and Josh when they get here. But, it was a little bit of winding the clock back there on Saturday. Eagle Farm was at its best. There was a good crowd there. We had some great racing, and we had some great scenes, which we tend to drift off into the ether a lot of times, that people aren't allowed to get excited at the races. After the scenes of Prince Farwaz, a lot of people said, well, geez, you know, these blokes, you know, don't they realise, you know, they're going on a bit silly? Well, I tell you what, if that was my first racehorse and I owned a Group 1 winner, I'd be going off my chops as well.
Yeah, and a colt that wins a Group 1.
Yeah, well, just add another couple of zeros to whatever it's won.
Good luck with them. We caught up with them on Friday up there at Eagle Farm, to Evan and Panda and to all the boys associated and females associated with the horse. Good luck to them. What a big, big thrill it was. In doubt to the final 50 metres, I've got to say, but Prince Farwaz, a terrific winner in the end. Josh Fleming joins us from Brisbane. G'day, Josh.
Yeah, g'day, TK, Ronnie, Glenn, everyone. Yeah, great scenes downstairs there after that victory of Prince Farwaz in the Atkins, and highly emotional scenes as well. Of course, the horse was named after a good friend of the owners, who sadly passed away, Mark Elche, and Farwaz was his middle name, so they named the horse Prince Farwaz after him, and he got up on the inside and defeated Kubrick. You have to put a lot of kudos to Kubrick. It was a massive run. 3 weeks between runs, went 1,200 or a mile, three deep the trip, and only just run down at the end, so he's gone enormous, I thought, the second horse. Great ride by John Allen on Mr. Quickie in the Derby to pull off that plunge, survived a protest as well. Val Declare was enormous. He was wide all the way. And, of course, Trekking Toy with his rivals there on the Stradbroke. So, great day's racing. Great to get those feature races back to headquarters there on Saturday.
Yep, and then we've got all the cups coming up, and then we've got the Tats Tiara to finish things off, Josh.
Indeed, we've got the Ipswich Cup this weekend and the eyeliner as well. The noms, I would imagine, would be out. We've got, 19 noms in the Ipswich Cup and 24 in the eyeliner. Traditionally, we do get big fields on that day. We've got 189 nominations, so big noms there. And hopefully the track plays well out there. And then, of course, back to Eagle Farm for the Tiara and the Battle of the Bush. And we saw the last qualifying race for the Battle of the Bush conducted there at Cairns yesterday. They had to hold over the Mareeba qualifier to Cairns. And How Can I Help, ridden by Robert Thompson, won the last of those qualifying races. So I've got the 16 now for the Battle of the Bush. Ronnie, so you can sit down and get those videos, mate, and have a look.
Yes.
I had a look at them during the week, actually. It's good viewing. It's really good viewing. Some characters there, a few interviews, and I'm really interested to have a look at it. I don't know much about them, but it's a great initiative.
Yep. Any good idea, any new idea is a good idea if you ask me. Let's get down to Melbourne and say good morning to Dean Lester. Hi, Dino.
Yeah, hi, TK.
Well, we saw history made at Flemington on the weekend, mate.
Well, we did. Jade DeRose being the first trainer jockey to win at Flemington for 80 years, but certainly the first female trainer and jockey to ever win at headquarters.
Yeah, and has she had I think it was her first ride ever at Flemington.
No,
it wasn't.
No, she was one of our, she got on a real bit of a roll as an apprentice, be 15, maybe nearly even 20 years ago now. She hasn't ridden at Flemington for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Dino, you said yesterday that's the only horse her and her husband, who was a former jockey, I think you said yesterday, this is their only horse they've got.
Yep. Brendan Fenwick, who was probably apprenticed about the same time, really. They just have the one horse, Power and Prince, and dote on him, and with good reason. He had his very first start in a race. He was a real eye catcher, and he was much sought after. He was trained up in the northeast, and Henry Dwyer got a group together and they paid big money for him, and they won a couple of races but never really got him to any great heights, and he had a knee problem, and he was sold very cheaply through a mixed sale, I think. Jade's just poked around with him, and she's won five races now, two city races. They've had a ball with him.
Yeah, which is, I think she was, I saw her interviewed after the race, Dino. She seemed in a bit of shock, actually. She didn't know whether the horse was going to be good enough to win at a place like Flemington, but you know, she was pleasantly surprised. She seemed delightful.
Yeah, well, because of his issues, I don't think they do a lot of work with him. They just keep him happy and well, and so when a 1,000-metre race presents, they've got to probably go for it, and it happened to be at Flemington down the straight, and he was good enough.
And Dino, I touched on this just at the beginning of the program, but Mornington yesterday, it was farcical scenes, really. 14 barriers, 15 horses.
You put a bit of mayonnaise on it.
Well, the jockeys were cacking themselves,
put
right?
A bit of mayonnaise.
The jockeys
on it.
Thought it was hilarious.
It's not like you, TK.
Now that's
you're
the billionth.
Straight up and down,
it's
man.
The billionth
so what
time
happened
this
was
morning
missed...
I've exaggerated, right?
Yeah, I know.
But
yes.
take our listeners who might have missed it through.
Okay, so they had the bank of 15 stalls, but they often try and not use barrier one because it gets used all the time. They try and spread the load of the barrier use. They'd miscounted how many scratchings there were, and there was actually 15 runners in the race, so they just had to move the bank of barriers out one. They didn't have to get new barriers or anything. They just had to move them across one stall. They had to take all the horses out, as you said, but they didn't have to get an emergency set or anything.
Yeah. And then Josh up there in Queensland, I think it was Cairns, wasn't it? They had flashed the wrong number up.
Did they? Or did they?
Yeah, they did.
They had a big hour.
They had a race there. The 150-1 chance went to the line with another one, and they put the, I think it might have been 5 and 6. The 150-1 chance was number 6.
They put
the numbers up 6 beats 5, and then they realised, they said, hang on.
Okay.
And no, 5 is actually the winner there, so 5 had beaten 6. So if you're on the 150-1 chance, you're immediately deflated.
But they hadn't declared correct weight, though, had they?
No. Okay, but so. And they said, how do we
there,
top?
I didn't know about that one.
How do we top this? So they went out a couple of races later, and the winner weighed in light.
Yeah. So got disqualified, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And at Randwick, we saw punters pretty well on the mark as well, Ronnie. This Kiwi Coup, though, simply optimistic, a hit-and-run mission, a really nice animal. It was spec late, and trainer Brendan Horton got the cash.
Yeah, I'm surprised it wasn't specced more because he looks a really, really nice horse. I'd looked at his trials before coming over. He hadn't raced in September and he was very good at the trials, and I don't think it'll be a hit-and-run mission. There's more money to go home with for a horse like him. You know, he could win two or three more races before you take him home over winning. We know he can. He's early in his prep. He's got wet track form. He's got dry track form, and he's above average. And he's still on a benchmark of 80 something. So, he could be the horse to follow out of that meeting for sure.
All right. Well, very, very keep an eye on him. I think they were going to go to Melbourne, and then he thought he had some advisors that said no. There's this race up in Sydney that'll suit the horse, and gee, Simply Optimistic. They didn't miss it. It was specced in the market, as you said. It could have been specced a little bit more, Ronnie, but certainly delivered on a rain affected track there. Josh, the Stradbroke handicap we mentioned trekking in the end was a.
Yep.
Well, I'm probably going to say it was a soft win.
Well, it was in the end. It was quite painless, really, for those that backed him. And he had to defy history to a degree, because I think Black Piranha was the last favourite to win the Stradbroke going back to sort of the early 2000s, around about that 2004 mark, I think. And it was a wide-open race. I think the SP favourite at $7. And in the end, he got the job done really well. He sort of balanced up about midfield and got to the outside and was too good. And this continues Karen McAvoy's wonderful run. Two Melbourne Cups, Everest wins, two Group 1 wins there on Saturday. Obviously, Prince Farwell's earlier on for Anthony Cummings, and then trekking for James Cummings. So a great day for the family, Group 1 success. And look, Tyzone ran a great race. The Queensland horse, he hit the line well. The Endless Drama was good for third. And those back markers got going well from the back. Sprite Tom Melbourne ran home well. But in the end, they were chasing in vain because trekking was all too good.
Yeah. Ronnie, what was the upshot with the Bostonian, who was very, very well backed for the Stradbroke, was trying to make that historic double, the Doomben 10,000, the Kingsford Smith, and then the Stradbroke, but missed the kick, and that was about all she wrote.
Yeah, that was the end of him there, and not much happened for him after that as well. So, as we'd say, probably a total forgive run, and along with horses like, you know, Dispatch and Pretty in Pink, who didn't get much room there. I'm not saying they would have won, but they both should have finished a lot closer than what they did, along with Encryption. They probably were the ones that had the trouble free runs, but there's no way in the world anything could have beat that winner. He was owned that race from about 200 metres after the start, and it was he was never going to be beaten. And another big race ride from McAvoy, and Godolphin are just getting everything right at the moment with the timing of their horses' preparations.
Yeah, the Queenslander was pretty gallant, Josh, Tyzone.
Yeah, he's had a good preparation. He was brilliant winning the BLC Sprint and ran a great race there. Yeah, on Saturday, in the end, was beaten about two lengths. He was never really going to catch trekking, but he's had good preparation. He won the gold market then, the BRC Sprint, and had no luck when he went to Randwick in the hallmark behind trekking, and probably wasn't suited in the Wheatwood just on that track up there back in early April behind Sexy Eyes. But, gee, by and large, he's had a great campaign. He's been a great money spinner for his owners. He's won 16 races. He started his career in North Queensland, now with Toby Evans. So he's just been wonderful. Tyzone ran another great race there on Saturday. Couldn't get to tracking it in the end, but as I say, he's had a great prep, and they're proud of him up in North Queensland.
And Glenn, it was all about the Bostonian, but Tony Pike, we had a good chat with him on the Friday morning, the trainer of the Bostonian. He said, don't forget Endless Drama. Endless Dramas, they don't work together because they go a little bit keenly together if they work together. But he said, look, I believe Endless Drama is probably over the odds.
Well, he started saying that when Endless Drama had his first start here in Australia, when he came back here in the Kingsford Smith Cup, when he was beaten just under two lengths by the Bostonian. And everyone said, oh, Tone, we've seen this horse before. Don't you fall into the trap there. And he said, I'm telling you, I think, you know, I've got him going absolutely unbelievable, and he'll improve from this point onwards. Mm. And that was the case in point. He backed up that Kingsford Smith run, and he ran another ripper there. So he might have just found a new lease of life over there in New Zealand, and transferred his form over here to Australia, Endless Drama.
Yeah, and Dino, I know you had plenty to keep an eye on down in Victoria, but the Stradbroke handicap, what was your wash-upper out of the Stradbroke?
I was firmly for Endless Drama, so I was watching him, but got a little bit excited about the 250, but then saw the Blue Army's colours lurking, and he was far too good trekking.
Yeah, and Sprite does what Sprite did, got home really well to get into fourth position.
She ran well. Both the back markers ran well because it was hard. Tom ran well also from the back.
Tommy Melbourne was there. Home of the Brave probably went a bit too hard early, Duff.
Yeah, look, he was too fresh because he had that setback where he was scratched with a temperature. and he'd only had a couple of trials since his previous run. So he was never the ideal preparation for him, and that showed right up there on Saturday where he was just far too keen and too fresh.
And then the draw too,
run.
wasn't it?
Doing work,
The Queensland Derby, Mr. Quickie, Philip Stokes, he always has a good horse, Dino, and, geez, he looks like he's got a pretty good his horse here. And Johnny Allen, loved the interviews after the race wins. I just can't understand him a great deal.
I'm getting the hang of him because we're seeing a lot of him.
We're seeing a lot of him, aren't we?
You can't believe that he's one of the elite Group 1 riders now when he just came over as a jumps jockey. But after that horse got squeezed at the start, he just had to just keep poking along, and then he just picked off runs. And he's a very good stayer, that horse. He's got a great winning record for stayers. Stayers don't usually win 9 of 13 because he can win at 1,400 metres. Yeah. That's the thing. He won a good 3-year-old race at 1,400, and he can now win at a mile and a half. So he's a very good horse.
All right.
Are we paying the Adelaide Carnival enough credence, Dino? Because once again, they came through. You know, I know when, you know, they've come through the Goodwood before and the Derby and the Oaks, and we say, oh, yeah, geez, they've got to get to the end of their tether sooner or later. But they've backed it up again with Mr. Quickie and even Dispatch, who, you know, you said, how would it possibly run 1,400? Well, it probably should have finished
in the money, absolutely. But, no, you're right, although the punters seem to pay Mr. Quickie plenty of respect close to the race month.
Smashed.
Well, it was an amazing situation because it was, as TK said, you know, it sat there $5.50, $5, $4.60, was still $4.40 when we started the preview at 9:30 on Saturday morning. 30 minutes before, at the end of the previous race, which was the JJ Atkins, that's when the official price situation rolls in. But even before that, he was into around about $293, and you don't see that in a normal race, let alone a Group One race where the market's been there for months.
Yeah, which is fair enough. Vow and Declare was second. Alfarious, I don't know whether any horse made up more ground on the day than Alfarious.
Yeah, but it was a meeting where you could make up ground. Yeah. The track was very fair. I don't think we're giving a second horse enough credit.
Yeah, he was huge.
He's a good horse.
He can stay.
I'll say he's a good stayer.
Yeah, he can stay. He wasn't suited by the slow race leading in, or two actually, one at Sandown and the Grand Prix, but Saturday where he could really actually show his staying prowess. Not that you wanted him that wide, but gee, he ran well.
Do we talk Caulfield Cups and that sort of stuff with Mr. Quickie, Dino?
I'd be talking Caulfield Cup with him, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I reckon I would.
Well, the biggest discussion's got to be the fact he's staying here.
Yeah, I think I think the hitters, the biggest hitters in him are wealthy enough that they want to have a good horse. So.
Was there the thought that it was going to Hong Kong, was it?
I
think the Hong Kong situation was young George Moore was in the enclosure and he was videoing three horses walking round and round and round the enclosure. Mr. Quickie took up much of the video, and then Nobu got a few slides in there, and Vow and Declare may have got one or two as well. But he was clocking a couple of the better sorts of colts there, colts and geldings.
Yeah. The JJ Atkins, we saw those tremendous scenes, Josh, in the mounting yard after the big ownership group. They went berserk, and good luck to them. The more celebrations we get, the better.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we touched on that at the top of the show, didn't we, TK? The emotion around that victory. Prince Far was named after Mark Elche, who was a good friend of a lot of the owners and sadly passed away, and they named this horse in his honour, and it's the first horse that a lot of them have owned. So a wonderful story there, and Anthony Cummings doing a great job with him. And, of course, he had a bit of Group 1 form there in Sydney where he wasn't beaten far in the Champagne. Well, in the end, he was beaten about four lengths. And, of course, he did a good job in that Newcastle Maiden, which is turning into, obviously, a hot maiden, and beat Reloader at Randwick. And that was no fluke, of course, coming out to win there on Saturday. So he looks highly promising, building a good record. Have to pay a lot of tribute to the second horse. He went enormous, Kubrick. He came into the race undefeated, was going to the mile there for the first time. Duff covered ground. I thought he went enormous, the second horse. But, yeah, the honours go to the winner. Prince Far was just too strong late.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? He's a good horse. He could have become a king Far was by the end of the year. He's a good horse. Yep. And 100% about Kubrick, terrific run. He's still inexperienced, Reloaded. Don't doubt his quality. It's where he sits as far as his best distance is going to be, and there's no doubt the Shadow Hero's best distance is going to be a Derby distance in the spring. He's a serious staying type in his own right.
What about a session?
I don't think he ran the mile.
Yeah, that simple.
I couldn't find a real excuse for him. He was like, he's by Brazen Bow. He's out of a more than ready mare, so there was no real excuse for him. Maybe he's just a 1400 meter horse, but we'll learn more next prep with him.
Right.
And best of the locals there, definitely Eric the Earl. He looks as though he could go three laps.
He does.
Yeah. Well, he's out of a Montingeur mare, so he's certainly got that pedigree to do that. Glenn and spot on. He just kept chugging home. He was good late, and I know a few of the owners. They were very happy with his run. Yeah.
There's no doubt it's a good race. It's going to be a good form race.
So there, yeah, we would imagine. Yeah, there's spring horses, the first four spring horses.
No doubt.
Yeah. Just a matter of getting them placed right exactly, and that was a big win, being a colt to win the JJ Atkins stuff.
Huge result for the boys. It's we know it's a great story, and the story hasn't finished yet. We haven't even got through the first chapter because he's still raw. He's still yet to mature right up. He's a very good horse.
Hi, lads. Got to love Straighty Day. We'll be up there for our annual Punters Club trip. Shout out to Josh Fleming for doing a great job calling during the Winter Carnival. Cheers, Luke from Lake Macquarie. There you go, Josh.
Ah, lovely. Thanks very much for that, Luke. Much appreciated, mate.
Yeah, it was good. It was good to have it back at Eagle Farm, wasn't it, Josh? I mean, that's where the Straighty and the Derby, that's where they belong.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it had a different feel about it getting back to Eagle Farm. There's no two ways about that. And certainly don't want to put Doomben down in any way. Doomben was incredible, you know, standing up to the extra traffic, as we all know, for the period that we didn't have Eagle Farm. But barring the Oaks, it was great to get those features back to headquarters with the Stradbroker and the Derby, Brisbane Cup and whatnot. And it definitely had a different atmosphere about it back there, I think. And there was some great crowd noise when they're about to jump in the Stradbroker. I think Victorum got the biggest cheer of the lot when he burst through to win. They lifted the roof off the grandstand when he won.
It was so, like Tullock.
Yeah. So it was special to be back there. No two ways about it.
Brilliant ride. Ridden cold. I guess that's the only way But it was Chautauqua finish like, wasn't it, Glenn?
Yeah, it was. And some news this morning from Stephen Hewlett on Radio Tab that it'll be running in the Healy Stakes on Saturday week.
Nice
Victorum, they were tossing up on Saturday whether they went the Healy. Even the Ramorny was mentioned. But I can tell you what, the Kosciuszko was mentioned at the top of the list. Yep. Potentially the Hunter and potentially the Gong. They were all looked upon as races down the track for Victorum, and it won't be the last horse you hear mentioning those three races.
No, well, speaking of the Kosciuszko, you released four markets, mate. One of those markets in the last 24 hours you've released for futures betting is the Kosciuszko, and Victorum is the current equal favourite.
Yeah, he's equal favourite with Noble Boy. So the last two country championships winners have been installed as equal favourites. Now, he pulled up sore on Saturday, Noble Boy. Toddy Blouse said a couple of races later he came over to our commentary position there alongside the mounting yard, and he said he was a little bit sore behind Noble Boy. So you can put that down as an excuse. They're equal favourites at $4.50 a pair. Over Care to Think. Now, I'm sure he's back with Matty Dunne. Maybe even be aimed at the Ramorny. Care to Think. It's a $6 chance. I'm a Cool Kid for Gaynor Williams there. It's the next pick as an $8 chance. We've got Awesome Pluck, another Jenny Graham runner at 11. Then we've got Benelong Dancer, who's made the last two country championships finals at 15. Don't Give a Damn for Danny Williams at 15. La Scopa for Matty Dunn at 15. Sun Craze for Mellow Gorman there at 15. We Concur's a $15 chance as well, and then you get out to the $26 pops. But that is the Kosciuszko, Saturday the 19th of October. And, of course, that date makes it the same day as the Everest.
Yeah, we look forward to that. It's going to be massive. And isn't October shaping up as a tremendous month of racing here in Sydney? We've got the full panel together, Josh Fleming in Brisbane, Glenn Munsey, Ronnie Duffacy, and also Dean Lester before he goes on a month's holiday, Dino.
Yes, this is the last shift, TK.
The last hurrah.
Very happy to be part of it, but looking forward to a break.
Leave us something special, please. Phil the Grocer, good morning to you.
Good morning. Yes, ma'am. Avocados, $1.99, a couple of days. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
All right. Tom's there. Listen, I'd like to give Newcastle Racetrack a wrap. I went up there on Saturday to watch Gunzel run around, and Gunzel didn't go so well, but the beer up there was fantastic. I managed to find trekking as a winner.
Beautiful.
That was Eagle Farm. And then I got the trifecta in the last twice because I'd had a few of those nice beers and put it on twice. So, and the atmosphere up there, even though for a small place and everything, a small venue, was really nice, and you could just tell it felt like a country sort of area rather than an actual town. So yeah. If anyone wants a nice day out, just get up there to Newcastle and get yourself some time and plenty of room to get around. That was a good thing too.
Oh, it's a good track. It's a fair track, Broadmeadow, and extremely difficult with the class of the racing watch we saw at Randwick. And then, of course, it's extremely hard at the provincials in Sydney on a Saturday when you're racing the mighty Chris Lees up there, in particular at Broadmeadow, but Chris Waller, and then you've got all the Dolphin horses that travel. It's just hard to find a winner. Good on you, Phil. Nice wrap there for Newcastle. We'll take another call. Hi, Dean. Good morning to you. Dean, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thanks.
Yeah, just one for Glenn. Glenn, I just wanted to know, really, looking at the trio and the new thing happening there, really, what's the difference between a trio and really having a flexi trifecta, considering the amount the trio pays, and if you had the same, use the same money for a flexi trifecta?
Well, to start with, the trio is any three numbers in any order, and you take it for one single unit. To say to box up three numbers, to have any of those numbers run the trifecta, it'll cost you six units. You'll still only get it once, but you're investing six times the amount of money to get it. That is the major difference. It's how much you invest for what percentage of the dividend you get.
Can't you flexi your trifecta?
You can flexi it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You could just have it.
16% would be a dollar.
But you won't get 100% of the dividend.
No, you won't.
You get 16%. But what do they equate to?
Yeah, how's it work out, Glenn? Does it normally work out to that 16%, or does it work out to 20%?
I don't know, TK, what the formula is for the dividends there. Yeah. But all I know is what you invest and what portion of what you get.
Yeah.
But that's why, looking at it, really, you're really doing the same or better on a flexi trifecta. Even if you're spending the same of money, getting 10% of the trifecta, then why I wanted to ask you, why isn't the trio pool separate on its own to the trifecta pool? That's part of it, I see, that it's together. Why is that the case?
I don't know why it is not a separate pool. It's just a new bet type being brought in that is basically piggybacking off an already established pool.
Mm. Be dangerous, probably, because they're thinking it might split the pools, I suppose.
You open a betting type, which is basically, you know, the similar of another one, and you're cannibalising one pool against the other.
Sure, that's normally how it works.
You're trying to attract people that don't have the $6 to box up the three horses that have $1... that get any of those three horses to get it.
Thanks for your call, Dean. 13 53 53. Dino, any idea where Be Good to Your Mother will head this spring? Also, I've got the day off. Do you like anything at Mowi?
Well, it's Pakenham, but no, I haven't looked, to be honest. I'd be telling lies if I did.
You're supposed to clock off at 10.
Yes, yeah, I know. Be Good
to
Your Mother's...
The front, the car warmed up?
Yeah, just about. Be Good to Your Mother's going to the Rupert Clark, trying to get to the Rupert Clark Stakes in the spring. That's their aim with him.
All right, there you go. Morning, boys. Just a quick one here. Morning, guys. Having a great winter carnival. Like to hear your thoughts on Prince Farways and Princess Posh. Reminds me of Dane Ripper. Very underrated. What do you think? Panic from Wagga. Duff?
Well, I think we've all made our comments about Prince Farways. We all think he's a very, very good horse. Princess Posh was a late scratching there on Saturday. It was a bit controversial.
Yeah, can you take our listeners through?
She's got a bit of a scratchy action, and the vet must have saw her walking up in the stalls or something, and he's had three or four looks at her there and was a late scratching. That's his job, or her job, or whoever. You know,
and the stable said, but she's always like that.
Yeah, the stable said she's always like that. Larry said I wanted to get on her and take her to the barrier and get a feel of her and maybe have a look at her behind the barrier. That didn't happen. The previous run she was outstanding but flattered by bias. So she may press on to the Tats Tiara now and get another opportunity if that soreness is a bit of a furphy. So stay tuned with how she does during the week as far as Princess Posh is concerned.
Yeah, and those inspections went over about three races. because they wore a path between the horse stalls and the stewards room. Mel Eggleston, Jamie Lovett, and Cameron Swan. Back and forward regarding, you know, the vet having a look at her. And, they were actually in the yard for the Stradbroke. That's how late the scratching was. It wasn't as if she was scratched, you know, a race before. Larry was weighed out. Saddle was on the horse. They were coming into the yard. They actually sent some of the early horses out of the yard and back to the horse stalls for a dual reason. One of the fact was the fall in the previous race. But that's how late the scratching was of Princess Posh.
Yeah, was it? And what about Scarlet Dream? What was the wash-up there? Obviously, scratched from the Derby.
Yeah, that was very unfortunate. We just went out for a trot on race morning, 7:15, and she whipped around and hit the corner of a gate and punctured a rib, would you believe it? So that was terrible luck for her connections. And the punters that had 25-1 all in too.
Yes, exactly.
Did you know any of them, Ron?
Yes, me.
Oh, you could have been one of them.
No, he was one of them. Not he could have been. he went a wider shade of pale about 7:26 on Saturday morning. I thought I looked crook at that stage, but Ronnie looked like a ghost compared to me.
Outback Barbie, Josh, was probably, you know, the flop.
Yeah, disappointing on face value, Outback Barbie. And there was a report on her that
mucus.
She pulled up a little bit short, I think.
Mucus.
Mucus, sorry, yeah. Grade 3 mucus it was, correct, yeah. And, look, she got back in a race where they didn't go all that hard, and in the end, she finished down the track, Outback Barbie. She's had no luck this prep. She was unlucky in the 10,000, and then to pull up with that issue after the Dane Ripper. So, no joy for her, unfortunately.
Okay. Tiger Marty would like this one to Dino. Morning, boys, sensational ride from 60s Groove on Saturday. What does Dino think best suits as a main target for 60s Groove in the spring, Tiger Marty?
Oh, he's a good stayer, isn't he? Probably a Metrop or something like that. Do you think, Duff? He was good on. It was a great ride, but he was good on Saturday.
He was terrific. That was his race all preparation, and he got away with it. So he peaked on the right day. He pulled up lame there. And he had to walk him back with the clerk of the course without the jockey. So I don't know how sore he was there. So I don't think it was too bad looking him coming back behind there. So I want to follow one out of that.
Yeah. Tell us.
A mare called... there's a 3,000-metre race over the next month in Queensland. Miss Admiration. She
might
can
be
stick
far
on
enough.
Her, can't she? Yeah, far enough, Dina.
Gee, she can stay.
Yeah,
that's the old Queensland Cup, I think, isn't
it?
Queensland Cup. 2 miles, 3,000 metres. So that's a nice race for her.
When's the Queensland Cup again, Josh?
Well, it's normally about the middle of July, and it was been run at the Sunshine Coast the last couple of years with no Eagle Farm. I'm not sure if we're going to have that back to Eagle Farm or not.
I heard there was a 3,000-metre race. Is there a 3,000-metre race in 2 weeks' time on Tats Tiara Day? I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the program, but someone told me there was a 3,000-metre
race. Yeah, the Lazy Yak Tattersall's Cup is a Group 3 3,000-metre maximum handicap weight of 61.
Okay. That's her race.
There you go. Yeah, started about the 1,000-metre mark. Yeah, okay.
This quick one from Shannon. Now, we've covered most of these horses, but, guys, want to ask your thoughts on the first four across the line in the Queensland Derby. I like Vow and Declare as a horse and No Boo as they – are they Caulfield Cup horses? Shannon. Dino?
I don't think Vow and Declare is quite classy enough. He can stay. He's probably your old-style sort of Caulfield Melbourne Cup horse, but he mightn't be quite good enough. But he's a strong horse. That's the one thing. It'd be interesting if they just sort of give him an easy spring this year and try and maybe as a five-year-old, hope he improves that bit more and comes, you know, really solid as a five-year-old.
And there's a big chance No Boo's a 2,000-metre horse.
Yeah, I would think so.
He went to New Zealand and failed in their Derby with little excuses, and that's his next run at the mile and a half this Saturday, where he was going to steam at them there and just petered out when the pain barrier set in there. So there's a chance he's a 2,000-metre horse as well.
And Glenn, I think for the Caulfield Cup, Avilius is the favourite. Cross Counter we're going to see at the Royal Ascot Carnival over 4,000 metres is the second favourite around that $15 mark with the Kiwi Very Elegant.
Chris Waddock, very elegant now. But Avilius at 11 over Cross Counter and Very Elegant at 15, and then a whole stack of them at $26. And speaking of Very Elegant, she was very prominent in the markets we put up yesterday as well. She's the second pick in the Epsom at $11 behind Acadia Queen and Brutal. And she's the favourite for the Metropolitan at $8. And that Queensland Cup Boys will be run on Saturday, the 20th of July, over 3,200 metres at Eagle Farm.
Okay, there you go.
3,200 metres. Mm. And you mentioned the Epsom handicap coming up. When you got the Colding that we saw, very, very impressive, as a $15 chance behind Arcadia Queen at $8. And Colding is certainly heading in the right direction, Duff, after what we saw on the weekend.
Yeah, he's a good horse, isn't he? Since he's been gelded, he's looked the part. And, he's a spring prospect for sure.
So like many and many of these horses, Duff, goes for a spell now, and Chris will just try and, you know, pick the targets now for spring.
Yeah, he could be an Epsom horse, to tell you the truth. Pahuta Kawa should have won that race.
Yeah, I know.
She got... Chin doesn't get outridden very often, but McDonald pulled his pants down there. And Dino's horse is a horse to follow there, dead set. Juniper, one run short.
Yep. Sunshine Coast Guineas, is that still...
Yeah, it'll be lovely, won't it?
Well, Kieran Marr said...
all panned out for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Kieran Marr said he would have loved to have had one more run into it before Saturday. So that Saturday has just topped it right off.
Yeah. And we talk about all the markets open in the last 24 hours, the four major markets open in the last 24 hours by the tab. The Golden Rose is one of them, and a horse that we saw on the weekend we've spoken a fair bit about, Prince Farways. That'll be a likely target for Prince Farways, Glenn, I imagine.
The Golden Rose,
yes.
TK, yes, you would have to think so, but he's on the same line there. We got Microphone and To Sort, the two Godolphin runners at $11 equal favourites for the Golden Rose. And then you've got Castle Vecchio, Cosmic Force, Exceedance, Kubrick, Prince Farwaz, and Yes, 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 all at $15. So just a message through.
Mouthwatering, yeah. That race. That's always a race you don't want to have it because you don't want to split all these good horses. But it's the day you'll find out, or maybe it's the run of the race we find out. But how exciting are those young three-year-olds going into that race? Mm.
And as you know, our listeners are our best researchers. Message there. Vow and Declare will run in the Tattersalls Cup on Saturday week.
There you go. Yeah,
over 3,000 metres. Oh, and okay. In rather large, bold letters, he is not for sale.
As well.
Thank you, Jeffrey. That's Vow and Declare.
All right.
Okay. All right. Vow and Declare. And just to round with, I mentioned that punters were pretty well on the mark, Duff. We talked about this Kiwi Coup with Simply Optimistic, but Star of the Seas was super good. We'll measure up in the spring, surely, just much, much more of the better races.
Well, he's in an awkward spot. He's been up all coming into winter,
yeah.
And here he is. He just keeps delivering, and they're cashing in. Chris has placed him so well, and he just doesn't run bad races. So, you know, you could talk about Epsom's for a horse like him, but it's you can't win everything with him, and he's just continuing to hold his form and deliver. Touch of Intern, I want to back him now. I'd been going off a bit early with him, and he just, back on a dry track, he'll improve. He went much better there, but it's hard to knock Star of the Seas. He was terrific, and Deprive might be just better than a winter horse. Interesting to see what their next move with him will be, whether they want to stop for early spring or just probably go through and win another couple of listed races. I'm not sure what they're thinking there, James and Godolphin with Deprive, but he's four straight now, and he looks very, very good.
Yeah, which is... and then with Deprive, was it Ian Craig always... Well, used to be the first person you bumped into on the track, but also Jewel Acceptor, always take the Jewel Acceptor, and Deprive was nominated up there.
Well, we're having a lot of bets these days with those Jewel.
Yeah, I mean, there are now with so many meetings.
Yeah.
But chose to stay in Sydney and proved to be the right move?
Oh, no. Well, it won, didn't it? Yeah, won a stakes race, so it was the right move. But he's a very talented horse,
And, Duff, it felt like every bloke on the track, and every man and woman on the track, was on Quackerjack in the last.
They were. They went up to 360 Wednesday. I know there was a couple of little scratchings there, but he just kept firming, and everything went according to everyone's script there. He got control. The form around him was proved to be... Very, very strong, obviously. And he come through. I think they're thinking about even backing him up this week. I think it was
Nominated for an 1800 race.
Was it Colding that beat him last start? I think it was, yeah. Yep. So that form was really strong.
Okay. We don't mention a lot of midweek horses here, guys, but last Wednesday, Funstar winning at Canterbury.
That was a win.
Very good.
We put the Golden Rose up market yesterday. First bet, 1,000 each way at $51.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and it's now a $26 chance. And after that, 5,000 to 100 after it's straight out as well.
It's a little brother to somebody, isn't it? Or
Youngstar's
half-sister.
Half-sister, isn't it? Yeah. Youngstar's half-sister. So, we see this coming up on the weekend, Ipswich Cup. Can you describe to our listeners what the Ipswich Cup's actually like, Josh, if you've never been before? What could people expect when they turn up?
Oh, they can expect a party atmosphere. There's no two ways about that. They love getting the doof-doof music up there nice and loud, and they had it there that loud last year. It was vibrating against the glass in the front of the broadcast box when you walk out with a raging headache at the end of the day. But, look, they set up a lot of marquees and whatnot on the infield there, and that's where they house a lot of the crowd. And, it's a great day for the Turf Club and the people of Ipswich out there. They really get behind it. They'll get more than what we got to Eagle Farm on Stradbroke Day. I think I heard 14,000 maybe to Eagle Farm, but Ipswich will better that. They'll probably get in excess of 20,000 out there, I'd say. And there's a lot going on with the construction there of the new grandstand and what have you, which unfortunately won't be completed in time. But they'll have it all sorted out there with as I say, the marquees and whatnot to go all the way up the home straight and then on the infield as well. And we're getting there nice and early, don't worry, because it'll be an early start, and it'll be a bit tricky getting in and out of the joint with traffic and a lot of people there. But really looking forward to it. It's always an exciting day, and they'll get in excess of 20,000 there, I'd say, for Saturday.
It's hard to fathom, isn't it, that Stradbroke Day will get outrated by the crowd by that amount for Ipswich Cup.
Well, pretty much like the massive, massive Stradbroke crowds that we've had, Ipswich will certainly in recent times outdo Stradbroke Day nearly all the time on a crowd basis anyway. So, it's sort of, we'll go there on a Wednesday or a Friday and there'll be a couple of hundred people there, and massive difference, of course, to what we'll get there this Saturday. But they're a wonderful job out there, the club, to cater for that wonderful crowd. And they're obviously doing a good job because they keep turning up, and it's one thing to get the crowds there. You've got to keep them coming as well, and the attraction's always there to keep them turning up, and they're there every year, and they'll be there on Force this Saturday, no doubt about it.
Is that the world we're living in these days? You know, like the big crowd meetings now are the carnival atmospheres. We're not many, traditional race meetings are getting the big crowds there. You know, we've catered for the Everest for younger people. That's been proven over the 2 years, and that Ipswich is where all the universities are and whatever, and they that's their day to go out and have a day out. And it seems to be a changing world.
Mm. Yeah, you're spot on.
Well, it's all about the event. It's all about picking your days.
It's all about events now.
I guess
so. It's not all about Group 1 races, Group 2 races, Group 3 races. It's about let's get out and enjoy a big day.
Well, the Sunny Coast, Josh, I think one of their biggest crowds is that Ladies' Day before on the Friday, isn't it?
The day before Queensland, I'd say, we've got what they call the Ladies' Oaks here at Caldwell Park, and the local FM radio station get right behind it, Hot 91.1, and I think we've got about 6,000 or 7,000 there on the Friday there a couple of weeks ago. But, it's pretty much taken over as the biggest day of the year. They'll get more to that than what we'll get to Caloundra Cup Day. Melbourne Cup Day is a big day there, as it is everywhere. Mm. And I would imagine they get a similar crowd on Melbourne Cup Day. But, obviously it's not a feature meeting. I think we ran a couple of benchmark races, which were heats of the Provincial Sprinters and Stayers Series. So it wasn't a big day in that regard. But, they cater for the crowd and the local station get behind it, as do all the people here on the Sunshine Coast. And we got about 6,000-7,000 there, so it was a great result.
Now, Dino, as you go for your four-week break, what's the thing you look forward to the most?
Not doing any form.
What about talking to Kurt? Now, we couldn't let you go on a four-week break.
Well,
unless you get a little bit of a mind-twisting question from Kurt.
I did want to have a chat with Kurt, because Kurt had one of his great predictions probably 6 or 7 weeks ago when a horse won at Cranbourne and said it'd win the JJ Atkins. Well, it didn't, But gee, it went close in Kubrick. It was one of his greatest ever calls.
Oh, there you go. High praise. Hi, Kurt.
G'day, Terence. How would you be, mate?
Yeah, good, good. You would have been better if Kubrick won the J.J. Atkins.
Group one horse in the making. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Can I just say, though, Dean, that's good praise. Thanking you very much. But but what about Jungle Cat, Dino? That was like 5 months out. But I guess
yeah, but Jungle Cat was winning a good race. This horse won a Cranbourne Maiden, Kurt.
No, you're right. You're right.
This was your best effort.
Hey, Kurt, take the rap.
I am.
And, Kurt, you've got another rap during the week.
Yes.
There's been a
horse named after you.
A horse named in your honour.
Another one. There's one called Kurt in New Zealand.
No, this is called Kurt.
This is absolutely named after you. I had a message during the week. We've named this, and it's called Yes, Kurt.
Where's the racing, Duff?
It's a two-year-old, unraced two-year-old by Al Maher from Rock On By, trained by Colt Prosser at Warhope. You'd love to get up to Warhope
Al
there.
Al Maher by Rock On By. I've been a stonemason my whole life.
Yeah. Hey, put a lot of time into the naming here, you know.
Is it Sydney-based? Melbourne? Where?
Warhope.
Warhope.
Warhope, near Port Macquarie.
What do they call it?
War Choppy, yeah.
No, well, you got to inform me, Duff, on Punters Postmortem when that's racing, brother.
Yeah, well you get on your black booker there and put it in the baby.
Much appreciated to the owners, the connections there. That's a good one.
All right. Anything for any of our expert panel, Kurt, or just happy?
High praise for yourself. Up there if I can.
Hey, yep. Kurt. How you going, mate?
Good, Josh. Good calling, buddy, mate.
Thank you very much.
Josh, I wanted to ask you, Fogarty. Yeah, anything for it after this weekend when I'm like Caloundra and that? Because I've always liked it. It proved it to me on Saturday at the Goldie. Form's been franked with Johnny White Sox, braining him on Sunday at the Caloundra as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's a nice horse. He was heavily back when he won on debut. It was only midweeker at the Gold Coast, but he put them away to win well. And then you spoke about the run behind Johnny White Sox, and he romped in up here on Sunday. And then this horse, Michael Costa's brain them at the Gold Coast on Saturday. Look, I'm not sure whether they go to the Guineas or not up here with him. I'm not really too sure, but...
Michael Costa's in piping hot form as well.
Very good trainer, yep.
So, all right. And Josh, too, during the week I saw a more dancer.
Yeah, that's one of Toby's, I think, isn't it?
Oh, mate, what a debut there. That was Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And our Swan Lake, Heathcote Anderson or Golan, that was on Wednesday, that was at Doomben.
Yeah, Amor Dams is one of Toby's. Yeah, cheap brain them at the Gold Coast there on Saturday.
At the Goldie, Josh, sorry.
Yeah, no, it trialled well. It won two trials and won impressively. And our Swan Lake's the young horse of Tony Gollins who trialled well. And it was an outside gate from a tricky to start at Doomben and took it a while to cross over and lead. It was wide early. But it's a shot clear down the side and won quite well. It won by about three or four. So you're on the mark. They're three promising horses, Kurt.
Oh, all right, Kurt, say goodbye to Dino for a month.
Hang on. I just got one more for Josh if I can.
Oh, yep. Quickly.
Yeah, Multage is my Tiara horse. Is it there on, is it racing there?
I believe so, yeah.
Nice one.
All right.
Dino?
Yes, Kurt.
One from left field if I can before you leave.
Right.
Let me see if you're this good, mate. Ray Trinder, Adam Trinder's father.
Father, yes.
Was he an owner of Piping Lane?
He was.
Wow. I nearly got that.
Ray Trinder was his that was his grandfather, actually.
So his grandfather.
Grandfather, yep.
Far out.
Dino could go out with another winner there.
Yeah. Well, let's mark that down. That's a tick to Dino.
And just quickly for Duff, if I can, TK?
Okay.
Glenn's got to play golf.
Yeah, come on. I thought Bentley was running the show again.
Right. Batash in the King's Den, Duff, it's going to be Blue Point.
Okay. Batash.
7-1.
Okay.
And I've also got Max Ed. I'm backing her up. I backed her in the Oaks. She got stood on her head there. So I'm going back for seconds in the Coronation. Max Ed, 15-1 and 450 the place. Okay. And that one is on, that one, Coronation, what? It's during the week anyway.
Saturday night.
Yeah, but Tash is $3 in the King Stand.
Well, I backed it as soon as it won the other week.
Oh, okay.
Seven.
You got the sevens. All right, the overs curse. Kurt.
What's the name of the horse, Duff?
Yes, Kurt.
Yes, Kurt. Okay,
yes,
all right.
Yes, Kurt. All right.
That's what we all say to you. Yes.
Say bye, Kurt.
All right. Yes, Kurt.
There you go. Off he goes, Kurt.
See you, Kurt.
Dino, lucky enough, we just passed on your mobile phone, so this time every Monday while you're on holidays, right? Dino, one from left field.
Does Kurt have any straight up and down, or are they all just left field?
No, they're all left field. They're all left field. Although that was a good one from, what was it, Cranbourne Maiden there. But, yeah, Batash, yeah. We've got Royal Ascot coming up not far away. Batash is actually the favourite there, $3 for the sprint. We've got the Ipswich Cup coming up on this weekend. Good calling up there at Ipswich. Let's hope you get out alive. Josh?
Yeah, thanks a lot, TK. Cheers, boys.
It's going to be Mask of Time, the favourite there at $4. You got a one to follow, Dino, before we let you go?
Yes, this horse will go close in if he stays down here for the Winter Championship. For Chris Wallace, Karzoff. He didn't get any room at all on Saturday, first up. Got beaten 3.5 lengths and just cruised to the line. That was 1,400. He's ticking over beautifully. You know him up there. He's a smart horse.
Very much so. Duff?
Well, we spoke about Junipel, Misadmiration, and obviously Simply Optimistic. But I think Tony Pike had a first up, a Cyber Attack in the first. There's a race for him somewhere at this stage of his preparation. Don't know what race it is, but it'll be in the next 3 weeks.
All right. Cyber Attack coming out of the first.
He didn't have one Saturday, so he might as well go out. Yeah. He had zero luck in the straight in that race there.
No, none at all.
Glenn, have you got one to follow?
Oh, it was Junipel that everyone else is paying, because we're looking now in 2 weeks' time to get to Caloundra.
Yeah, this is a beautiful spell here for Dean Lester, so he can just refresh and then get ready for us to make sure that we have a big, big spring. So, Dino, have a great 4 weeks off.
Beauty. Thanks, TK. I will indeed.
There he goes.
Have a good break, Dino.
Yeah. Thanks, Duff.
Good luck, mate.
Cheers.
Yeah. Everyone will be wishing you a very, very nice break, Dino, and get yourself, as you always are, in form for that spring in Melbourne. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Duff. And thanks to Josh Fleming.
See you, guys. See you, mate.